This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, and welcome to Yak Yarns, brought to you by the Canterbury District Health Board Youth Advisory Council.
Yak Yarns is an informative show that aims to educate and bring awareness to all things youth health. You can find us on our Instagram, Facebook and website.
Let us know if you have any questions
or if there's anything you want to know from our friendly health professionals.
We hope you enjoy this episode. It's time to yak about health.
Hi guys, welcome along to another episode of Yak Yarns. My name's Chelsea, I'm the Deputy Chair of the CDHB Youth Advisory Council. I'll introduce Letitia from Asthma and Respiratory Foundation New Zealand. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll let you kind of kick off by maybe introducing yourself and letting them know a bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I am the Chief Executive of the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation for New Zealand. And basically we are the leading national organisation around education around that respiratory space. So not just asthma, but COPD or bronchiectasis, anything lung related. And we provide also the national guidelines on things like asthma and COPD. So we're all about good lung health.
Awesome. So we kind of said our topic tonight was e-cigarettes and vaping. So we thought we'd probably kick off with a bit of a general question about what are e-cigarettes or vapes?
Yeah, and I saw some of the, you know, the questions that you'd sent through, and I guess first I just really wanted to say that during this pandemic and this COVID, I think the thought of you know, having anything like a vaping product going into your healthy lungs, if you aren't a current smoker, wanting to quit and use them for that is just, it's just not a good idea. So I'm going to say that right out now, right at the beginning. So what is vaping or e-cigarettes? Basically, they're battery-powered devices that have an e-liquid in them, which is heated at very high temperatures, that someone then inhales and then exhales. And the temperatures that they're heated at can be really, really hot. They're around 200, 250 degrees Wow. Celsius. So that's what they are in a nutshell. It's a liquid that is put into an aerosol, which is then vaped. And they can also be called ENDS products, E-N-D-S, which is electronic nicotine delivery systems. That's another name. But vapes, e-cigarettes, ENDS, whatever you want to call them, they're the same sort of thing.
Awesome. And so you kind of just mentioned before then about the liquid. So someone had asked, what is in a vape? I mean, a great question because a lot of people probably don't know.
you're right, Chelsea. And actually, some people just think that, you know, it's flavoured water, which they aren't. So there's three main ingredients in a vape, and that is your flavours, your solvents and your sweeteners, basically. And of course, we hear a lot about the flavours. So your solvents are your vegetable glycerin, which is a plant extract, so natural oil plant extract, and your propylene glycol, which is the synthetic version. And those are the products that make those big vape clouds that you see out there. And then the flavours can range from, actually now at last count, there's over 15,000 vape flavours on the market.
Wow.
That's a lot. We started getting involved in the vape space and wanting to get policy and get this industry regulated. That was only maybe 2017. There were 4,000 flavours.
Wow.
So we're talking 3 years. There's a lot more flavours available now. And then of course there's the sweeteners, which are mainly sucralose or the other, which is not as commonly used, as the ethyl methyl, but all of these products, especially like the vegetable glycerine, the propylene glycol, are used in beauty products and things like that as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's and really massive to see, like, you know, you're talking a couple of years difference and the amount of like flavors that are on offer now, that's crazy.
But of course now with the new, you know, the regulations and the amendment bill coming into place, those will be restricted into specialist vape shops, but specialist vape shops will obviously still be able to supply all those products.
Wow. So another question that we had come through was, how does a vape work? So like, how do they work?
Yeah, basically there's a lot of different vapes or e-cigarettes on the market. As you can see, there's ones which have like the big cartridges, and then you've got the really small ones like the Juul, you know, vapes, which are almost look like a USB that you plug in. So there's a wide range, but they all have to heat at very high temperatures to produce this exhaled vaporized product, basically. And if you can look at some of the different ones on our website, which is Don't Get Sucked In, www.don'tgetsuckedin.co.nz. That tells you a list of sort of the different ones out there and breaks them down into what the heated coil is, and then the e-liquid, and, you know, the mouthpiece and different things. But there's so many on the market now. The reality is that I think the last projection was that by 2027, the industry for vaping and e-cigarettes was going to be worth about $67 billion.
Wow, that's huge. And I was really, interested you mentioned the website, because I had a little look at it previously before tonight. Really awesome website. So we'll chuck that up on our Facebook page as well for people to check that out, because that's a really cool resource to go have a look at and learn more. I thought it was really well done. But another question we kind of had was, what is the legal age to vape, or maybe even just to buy vaping products in New Zealand?
Yep, so here in New Zealand, it's 18. And also, if you go online, then it's 18. You just have to tick the box that you're over 18, but that's the online stuff. Here it's 18 in New Zealand.
A kind of big generic question came through was, is vaping safe?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say that is vaping safe? They'll say it's safer than cigarettes, combustible traditional cigarettes. And, you know, quite possibly it probably is. In all fairness, we still don't have the long-term information. But if you're comparing it to cigarettes, which are like one of our biggest known, you know, killers out there, then yes, it's safe for them. But should you take up vaping if you not want to use it as a quick device? No, because it damages the lungs, it has cardiovascular effects, and it is not safe, and it does harm your lungs. So if I can get that through to people, it's really important. And especially now, right, we're in the middle of a COVID pandemic, as I said before. Yeah. Why would you want to take up something like this that damages your lungs? Because basically, when you are inhaling these products and these solvents, then your white blood cells and the tissues in your lungs are basically going to start attacking those. And constantly, if you're doing it, you know, you're going to get that inflammation, lung inflammation coming through. So, I mean, I think that most people would get that. It sort of makes sense.
Yeah. And I guess just to reiterate there, so I guess you've covered it, but we'll just because someone specifically asked was, what is the impact of vapes on young people's health? So that was quite, it's part of the same question, but maybe just to reiterate the point.
So I guess that not all vaping products have nicotine in them. You can get zero nicotine, e-vaping liquids and e-cigarettes, but one of the big issues is, and it's great that we're going to have regulations, is that, you know, nicotine, we know, especially for young people, affects the developing brain. There's been numerous studies around insomnia and, you know, mood, and it doesn't help with concentration. So there's enough data out there talking about nicotine and nicotine addiction. So one of the key things, and why, as I said, these regulations will be good, is because that often things that said there were zero nicotine actually have nicotine in them. And so that's not very helpful as well. So we want to make sure that for young people, they're not going to become addicted to another product, you know, which is nicotine, basically, which isn't good for the developing brain.
That's interesting. No, because you hear about, I guess, the smoking impacts, but you don't necessarily hear about the vaping. So that's really interesting to hear. I guess another kind of question that came through was, someone was talking about secondhand vape. Can you be impacted by secondhand vape? Or is it just person that uses like vapes themselves that can be impacted?
Yeah, no, definitely secondhand vape, certainly from, you know, the area we're working in around asthma, it can exacerbate asthma symptoms and having attacks if you're exposed to secondhand vape, which sort of makes sense. You know, often we know with even cigarette secondhand smoke that having asthma attacks can be correlated with that as well. So that is out there. So secondhand vape, especially if you have got already a compromised respiratory system or something like asthma or, you know, COPD, then that isn't going to be healthy.
Yeah. So that's also kind of good to know because, yeah, again, I think some people kind of go down the track of it's flavoured water, so yeah, how could they be impacted by secondhand flavoured water? So that's also a really good point to make. You kind of referred to it before, but someone did ask, are e-cigarettes an alternative to smoking?
Yeah, it's interesting. The best papers have shown that if you're wanting to give up cigarette smoking and you are a smoker, then using a e-cigarette or a vaping product may be right for you, but you still need that that behavioural support and that wraparound service that comes with things like, you know, Quitline or with your local healthcare provider or your Māori health provider. You need to have that behavioural support as well. Going in and just picking up a vape to quit smoking, there's papers certainly lacking in that area. The best way to quit smoking that's been shown with using vape has been because they've had intense behavioural support. And I think that people just, it's been one of our bugbears that, you know, when you go into a vape shop, if it is actually introduced as a product to quit smoking, then they should be talking about how that that information is going to be given to the consumer at point of care. You know, are they going to be given all the information around Quitline? Are they going to say, well, you need to be, you know, ringing up and checking in and have the app supports and all those sorts of things?
Yeah.
Rather than just buying something like a vape, oh, this will stop me from smoking. And of course, one of the biggest thing is that actually dual using is a huge problem. So often people will smoke their cigarettes, but they'll also vape. And that's actually worse for you than even just cigarette smoking.
Wow.
Because actually, there's been numerous papers out, and when I presented to the Health Select Committee on this, I supplied them those papers saying that actually dual smoking is and dual vaping and smoking is not good for you. So, yeah, it's not the magic bullet, but it may be something that works for some people.
Yeah. And we had a couple of questions that are a bit more specific. And again, you kind of reiterated it before, but I'll just ask it again for the person that did ask the question. Someone had asked, does like vapes or e-cigarettes impact asthma? So this young person had asthma and was kind of like thinking, will it impact their asthma if they use vapes?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend if you have asthma being around vapes or, you know, if there's party with lots of, because basically this is this solvent, it's not just flavoured water that's in that, you know, exhaled humectant, it's other products as well. And so we wouldn't recommend it if you are an asthmatic to be in that situation.
Yeah. Another question that kind of came through from a young person was someone, they've been told that vaping is better than drinking or taking drugs. Is that true?
I think when we start getting into a really tricky area, we're comparing different things better than other things, right, Chelsea?
Yeah.
No, I mean, all we can say is... It's interesting, this whole, I think, perception that it's safe really stemmed from this whole 95% safer than smoking. And I would really want people to drill down on where that came from, because it came from a paper by Nutt et al. Of the Public Health in the UK. And they were talking, basically it's a modelling paper. It's not based on scientific evidence. It's modelling, and you would understand modelling papers, and I'm sure lots of people who are listening to this understand what modelling is. Yeah. And the limitations in that even say that this is lacking evidence.
Wow.
95% safer just sounded great, and it came out there. But it's not based on scientific evidence, you know, it's crazy. So I would really like to dispel that and say it's probably safer than smoking, but 95% no.
Well, that's really interesting because, yeah, a lot you do, there's like, you know, I guess in some certain, when you study certain things at uni, you do get told about like certain kind of theories that we came about through a paper that actually wasn't accurate and actually, but everything's been based off that theory since. So it's interesting that that's the same kind of here with vaping in terms of the 95%. Another question that came through was around peer pressure. So someone had wrote in and said that at high school, they've got like a group of friends that use vapes and e-cigarettes and are told that they should also be using one because it's the cool thing to do, but they don't want to. And I guess the advice was, how would you go about saying that you don't want to use one to avoid the peer pressure?
Yeah, that's true. And I think you're right. You know, they are quite popular. We saw a recent study come out of AUT, which Dr. Somna, Captain, actually just produced, talking about the visual vape clouds being very attractive to youth in the marketing and advertising. We know that this has had a huge marketing and advertising spin put on it because it's the same playbook that cigarettes, of course, used to use, great colours, you know, you've got all these wonderful devices. So, of course, some teenagers and youth will think this is a very cool thing to do. And I guess if you're in that situation, you know, perhaps now more than ever, you'd say, well, actually, you know what, I really want to keep my lungs healthy because we are in the middle of a pandemic that affects respiratory health. And I could probably say that, you know, we've got people wearing masks out there. We're talking to be 2 meters away and, you know, you want to vape something. And I am talking about people who aren't current smokers, you know, I'm talking about youth in these situations. Do you really want to be doing that and harming your lungs at this point in time or cleaning time?
And I guess another kind of question that came off the same kind of track as that was, it was talking about they are in a situation where their friends are using and they're thinking that they should be encouraging them to stop. What could you say? So that was kind of information about what you would say if you don't want to use them, but how could you encourage someone nicely to maybe not use e-cigarettes? Because obviously you can't force someone to change their behavior, but how can someone best encourage that?
Yeah, I think it's just being informed. I mean, everyone, you know, we know youth experiment. We know that, you know, there's trends that go on and things like that. But just get informed. I think the problem has come that it's been perceived, as I said, as health, well, not harmful, and that it's flavoured water. But it's not. You know, do get informed about actually what goes in there and do look at the information that is out there, because there's enough out there now showing that it does cause harm. And I think that as being informed and educated, I mean, at the end of the day, people have to make their own decisions and, you know, peer pressure is hard. You can go onto the website. We've got a little bit about peer pressure on that as well. But I think being informed and just probably saying at this point in time that you just really want to have nice, healthy lungs, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Before you were kind of talking about the regulations, are you able to give a little bit more information about what that means in terms of, like, regulations?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to slowly be phased in, but the timelines, I think I've got the timelines here that we've got coming through at the moment for our regulations. So basically we know that it's the that November this year we're going to have, you know, these vaping, not in any workplaces, et cetera, but the advertising, probably the big one in this space is that the advertising and sponsorship relating to vaping products is going to be prohibited, which is big because we know that that sponsorship of festivals and things like that, not that that's going on at the moment. But,
no, but in the future.
In the future. So that's no longer going to be happening. And also, that they're going to be start registering the, you know, what is a specialist vape shop where they have to make, sell 60% of their, you know, revenue is going to make them a specialist vape shop. That there's going to be limited, if you aren't a specialist vape shop and it's like a dairy or petrol station, what can be sold. So those flavours are going to be limited to your mint and menthol and tobacco. So there's a few things coming in now which are slowly going to be phased in that are going to help, hopefully, stop the uptake of youth and that vaping in non-smokers. So we're pleased with some of those regulations that have been passed just before government broke up at the very last hour, which was...
Well, also that it got passed through in time.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said, they'll take a while to come through, but it's a good place to start, and it's good to have some regulations starting to come through rather than none, which we've seen has been a big problem for schools and teachers, you know, confiscating vaping products, etc., when there's been no real law around vaping.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we kind of, when we finish up our conversation, we've always got like one question that we'll ask our speakers. And it's, what is one thing that you would like young people to take away from this conversation tonight?
If it was going to be one thing, I'd have to hold up our poster, look, Chelsea, which you've already alluded to. This is a good one. Yeah. Right. Heavy metal belongs in your ears, not in your lungs. No. It's, don't get stuck in. Just be informed, you know. I mean, we're not saying, I mean, youth do experiment, but get informed. Vaping isn't healthy for your lungs. It's certainly not 95% safer. But just learn a little bit more about it and make an informed decision.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. That was really informative, really interesting, because, you know, I've learned some things tonight, and I'm sure many other people will do as well. So thank you so much for joining us.
Bye, guys.
I've got my friend Tori again joining us. You might recognise her from a few other episodes. But I will introduce who else is joining us on the Zoom meeting. This is Alex and Matt from Connect Chiropractic. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Pleasure.
Thank you. So we thought we'd kick off by maybe letting you guys introduce yourselves, telling us about who you are and what you do.
Yes. Okay. I'm Matthew Wild, and... Alex and I, well, you might want to introduce yourself.
My name is Alex. I'm the wife of Matt, and we have a wee daughter called Sunny that's 2 years old.
Yeah, and we have a chiropractic practice in Fairmead in Christchurch. So we're both chiropractors. That's where we met. And from there, we've sort of practiced all over the show. We were in Australia for quite a few years, and then we opened up our own practice a couple of years ago.
Almost a couple of years ago.
Almost 2 years.
Awesome. So I guess we've had heaps of questions. We put out a call on Facebook for people to put through questions that they would always wanted to ask a chiropractor. And so we've kind of collated them together tonight. So the first really common question was, what is a chiropractor and what do they do?
Yeah, sure. So a chiropractor is a person with a bachelor's degree in health sciences. So you graduate with a bachelor of chiropractic, you're a doctor at the end, so a doctor of chiropractic. We focus on the spine and the nervous system and the relationship between the brain and the body and the body and the brain. So we are looking at basically seeing if everything is working as well as possible, especially when it's relating to the spine and the movement and anything to do with the spine, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you find that, like, especially these days, I'm sure as everyone starts to sit up straight, you know.
I'm hunched over, so that's
But we're just as guilty, to be honest, because it's difficult. But, you know, especially the more central we are, the more that posture's coming into things, what that does to our spine, the pressure it places on it, how it causes the body to lock up and protect itself, that has sort of, you know, big effects on the function of the spine, and then how it affects the nervous system, and then what it might, you know, eventually lead to symptoms and things like that.
Yeah, cool. It's good to know, because a lot of people you hear the term chiropractor often, and you can kind of associate it with backs, but you never really quite know. So it's always good to be able to talk to someone who actually knows.
I think spine, I think it's one of those things is when you do think of chiropractic, I think you should think of spine. That's our big expertise. You know, we study 5 years pretty specific on the spine and the nervous system. So, yeah, I think it's pretty accurate. Really.
Yeah. We do see a lot of people from all walks of life with all sorts of challenges and issues and symptoms. So yeah, I can see how it sometimes can be also a bit confusing.
Yeah. Another question for you guys. Are all chiropractors the same, or are there specific different types of chiropractors?
Yeah, for sure. There's plenty of different chiropractors. And I think even if you both graduate from the same place, I think you always do things a little bit differently in some sense. Because I think the way someone practices is a pretty good reflection of themselves as well. Yeah. But definitely from where they've trained. The New Zealand College of Chiropractic in Auckland, you'll get a pretty spine and nervous system focused kind of chiropractor. Throughout the world, you'll get all sorts of different, I guess, focuses to certain degrees and that sort of thing like that. And some chiropractors end up doing like applied kinesiology. Some might focus on, you know, more, I guess, sports related type of things. But in the core of chiropractic and being a chiropractor, it is the spine and nervous system. So the New Zealand College itself, I guess you'd be considered as relatively sort of straight, whereas it keeps pretty strict to the focal point and what's important. Yeah. And that's where me and Alex graduated from. But you have, you know, the New Zealand College, you have people traveling from all around the world to study there. So we're pretty lucky to have a pretty amazing college on our back door, or basically right there.
Wow. So this is a really common question that came through. And I guess it's kind of, I don't know if it's more recently, I've just seen them, or it's just recently become more of a thing, but you see all these YouTube videos of people like cracking backs really intensely, and oh, they freak me out. Is that all chiropractors do? Are they just there cracking backs, making really loud noises all the time?
Not quite. And I think we have these conversations with people in practice, because a lot of the time we'll have people coming in that really want that. They like, please just crack me like a glow stick. Kind of like, well, there's a lot of other things we need to consider before an adjustment. And then we have those people that watch the videos, but they do not want that. Mm. You have all aspects of that spectrum, and you kind of navigate that. So the easy question is like, no.
It does come with the territory, but though, like, because naturally when you I guess when you might make a manual,
you might have to excuse me.
No worries.
Naturally when you like, for example, make an adjustment, a manual adjustment, it's very common that it might be a pop or a crack. It's common that there might be sort of a pop and crack, but that's just simply gas being released from the joint. So what that cracking sound is, I remember like someone who's, for example, been seeing us for quite a while, the other day I remember this conversation came up, and they were like, oh really? I thought that was like your bones cracking or something. I'm like, You're okay with me doing that if you thought it was me cracking your bones? But it totally is a bit of a misconception. But there's a lot of different techniques that chiropractors use as well. They're not all manual adjustments. They don't all, the cracking, everything like that. But everyone's fascinated by them. And the videos do a great job of chucking a microphone under the, you know, exactly where it's happening. And make it sound all funny. But it's true. There's a lot of people who just love it, eh?
Yeah. So another question that has come through is when do you know that you need to go see a chiropractor?
Yeah, it's a good question. Alex, who obviously just left, for example, she sees a lot of newborns. She sees a lot of children. So I think that's, again, another misconception that, you know, you have to have a bad back to see a chiropractor, or you have to have a problem to see a chiropractor. Because in the end, you know, our job is to, I guess, get an understanding of what's happened in someone's life or what's the current situation, and then go through an examination, see what's going on, see how we can help. Because it might not necessarily be symptom related, for example. It might be function. It might be sport related. But for newborns, for example, the thing we always encourage is just to get checked out, regardless of if there was intervention in the birth process, like regardless of the situation. We just sort of encourage that it's a good idea to get them checked out, because if everything's great, great. But if there are some limitations or some things that might affect development or might be a limiting factor in this. You know, like, I mean, I wouldn't want to leave that to chance for sure. But I guess, like, when you do have symptoms and when you do have spinal pain, things like that, that's a pretty clear idea that, yeah, you should go see a chiropractor. But again, like, we don't limit it to that, you know, like, for example, you know, there's a lot of different reasons to it. And in the end, if you want your spine and nervous system functioning optimally, we would recommend getting yourself checked out for sure.
Yeah, awesome. And another question that kind of then followed into that was, do you need a referral to go see a chiropractor? Like, do you need your GP to have referred you, or can you just go yourself?
No, not at all. No, completely can go yourself. I think there's a few different things that can be part of that care with regards to certain referrals with regards to x-rays and things like that. But no, you can just call up a chiropractor and make an appointment.
For someone who's under 18 and is living at home, is coming to see a chiropractor something that they can do without their parents, or will they need their parents there with them?
So over 16. I believe you can sign for consent to get here. So under 16, yeah, 100%. You just need to bring a guardian or legal guardian with you. But again, depending on obviously relationship with your parents or your guardian, sometimes it's a nice thing to have. And this is what I would say to people with, for example, like partners and things like that as well. It's a nice thing to have someone else part of the journey and part of the understanding of things as well. So then if one person misses some information, the other one picks it up, and then they also both get an understanding of, you know, of, for example, the care they might be getting or things they need to do themselves at home. So 100%, like I sort of said, that's sort of the guidelines and the rules there. But I like I sort of said, that sometimes it's nice to have someone else with you as well.
Yeah. Cool. Another question that kind of came through, and it's a question that I have myself, is what's the difference between a chiropractor and an osteopath?
Yeah, good question. That's another one we get all the time as well. good question. I mean, I think the confusion that comes there is because there are a lot of similarities. The person who started osteopathy was actually originally a chiropractor. So, you know, like, you can imagine how things, especially some philosophical similarities and even certain things that osteopaths might do. He was a chiropractor and then chose to do things a bit different, and he created osteopathy. I mean, I've never seen an osteopath before, so it's unfair for me to, like, you know, to say too much about them. But there's, on a real basic standpoint, both are very holistic. Both are looking at the whole body and how the whole body works together. I guess back to chiropractic, I mean, our focus is the spine and nervous system.
Yeah.
What we know is with osteopathy is the focus is a little bit different and not specific to the spine or the nervous system.
That's good to know.
So in looking at going to see a chiropractor, is this something that you can just Google search to find your nearest one, or is there a specific way that someone could go about finding themselves a chiropractor?
Yeah. For sure. I think Google's pretty locked on. And again, like, we always like, and not everyone's in the situation, but I think it's always nice being referred by someone that you know, or you know, someone who's seen one, to have the chat to them about that. Because I feel like that's always just a nice way for anything to, when you're starting something new or trying something different, but especially with a health professional, I think it's nice to be referred. Definitely. Google, I mean, go on the website, check out their social media, just see if that just feels right and what they're saying, and if what you're looking for is what you feel like they're about, and they'll be able to help you. Because, you know, not just the care itself and the treatment or whatever is part of the care, because it's also, you know, there's a lot more to healing and a lot more to that journey than something else. So I think it's really important that you feel like you might be able to connect with that person as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Another question that then came along with that, and I think it's quite a common question that came through, especially for young people, what are the costs of going to see a chiropractor?
Yeah, they'll fluctuate for sure. But there's typically, you know, because, you know, for a lot of chiropractors, you usually find there's an initial visit, which is a lot more time intensive, which is consultation, it's the examination, it's getting the full picture of what's going on and how they can help.
Yeah.
And there's usually a follow-up visit, which is sort of going through all those findings, talking about what the best plan of care for, and that's when you typically get a chiropractic adjustment, depending on how the chiropractors do things. But they are fixed fees. Like, for example, at our practice, we do have fixed fees for our first two visits. So we have like $90 for that first visit and then $65 for the second, which we know is that itself can be a barrier for a lot of people, and especially young people, especially students. We completely identify that. I don't think we talk about this, but we have a bit of a different system at our practice because we've sort of wanted to tackle this side of things. And we have a pay-as-you-can system, or a COHA system, where once we sort of figure out exactly what someone needs, we simply say to them, hey, this is what you need. Do it. It's really important. You know, like, you can just do it, because you can then pay exactly or as little or as much as you'd like to pay, as long as it works for you. Because we don't want care to be a financial stress. We don't want it to be in the way of someone getting the care that they need. Mm-hmm. And we don't just mean like, because me and Alex sort of, you know, we started Connect Chiropractic in the idea of that, you know, we wanted chiropractic care to be accessible to everyone because we feel like everyone could benefit. But we were noticing that because of the barrier financially, people weren't accessing it. But even on the sense that not even sometimes it'd be a matter of like, hey, we'd go through examination, go through the findings. This is what's going to be the best for you. And then sometimes people would be like, oh, can I just come in 2 weeks, or can I just see how things go? Which, sure, that's fine. But in the end, if you want to get the best out of your care, if you want, like, and if you, whatever your health goals are, we want people to be able to make this, you know, like, get that care they need, as opposed to trying to weigh things up financially. So we've found that with this sort of, with facilitating this and allowing people to pay what they can, people get the care they need, they pay what they can. And we've found that it works really nicely, that people don't abuse the system. Like, people will pay what they can, and they're grateful. We're grateful people get care. So it works really cool. But back to the initial sort of stuff, like, those first two visits can still be a barrier. And we always adapt. Like, if people reach out to us and mention to us that, hey, like, that's going to be something that's really difficult for me, and that will totally be a barrier, we'll never let that stop someone getting care, for sure.
That's really awesome, because it is, like, a lot of different care can be quite expensive. Like, it can add up, and especially when you think of young people, some of them are still in school and not working and things like that. So that is really awesome that you guys have that set up, because that's, yeah, amazing when you think about it, and all the people that it actually is helping in terms of the financial flow burden.
Sure. And it is one of those things where, like, people who just, who never would have accessed it, 100% accessing it. And, you know, I can't help but think about me when I was a student, or, you know, and when I was, for example, even becoming a chiropractor. There's no way. And even if I wanted to be, like, imagine if I wanted to just simply be proactive about my health, that option isn't even there. So we thought that's a bit of bull crap, so we wanted to change that. But that's sort of the other interesting thing too there, is that possibly, you know, maybe if depending on your situation, maybe your family pays for things when you're helps with paying for your sort of health care, you know, up until you, maybe until you're 18 or until you finish school. But that's what I remember always noticing, is that that age group between especially from that 17 to, I don't know, 25, how can they, like, you're either studying or typically you're on a very low paid job, like, typically. Yeah. and you're struggling enough just to pay rent and like eat and, you know, maintaining the things you want to do in your life, let alone do some proactive things like this. So again, same thing, we're seeing a lot more people in that demographic, which is really cool to see, because they're definitely the demographic that gets neglected a lot.
So we've spoken a bit about the cracking of backs and the kind of care that a chiropractor does. Is there any specific conditions that you guys treat as a chiropractor?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things. I mean, things we see a lot in practice are things like spinal pain, headaches, people having difficulty sleeping, maybe it's movement or bad posture. arm pain, leg pain, like nerve sort of pain stuff. Like that's really common things, sciatica, things like that. Because again, it all ties back to the function of the spine, how it's affected the nervous system. Because in the end, when we've got pain, you know, very typically, pain is there for a reason. Pain is, you know, pain is a communication mechanism of the body. The body is trying to tell you that there's something going on. And usually that's happened in stages, because usually you might notice maybe a protective mechanism happening. So it might start like a bit of stiffness or tightness, and then eventually it might become a little more of an achy thing. And fingers crossed this doesn't happen when you're young, but it might become a sharp pain, might become headaches, migraines, and things like this. So it's important to recognize things when you notice it building up, because it's great to address it before it becomes a big problem. But, you know, that's sort of the nature of human beings, to be honest, in a lot of sense. And especially when it comes back to down to, like, you know, prioritizing things. And especially when we're young, we, you know, we're much happier maybe going out and having a bender we just have different priorities, I suppose. But hopefully that's shifting a little bit. But there are definitely things we see a lot in practice. But like I said earlier, is that you're gonna be a lot happier, and you're gonna function better, and you're gonna feel better if your spine and nervous system is doing so.
Awesome. Yeah. Another question that came through, and this kind of followed on for some of the back cracking videos, but people were kind of asking, is chiropractic treatment safe, and does it hurt?
Well, I mean, on the scheme of things, and with healthcare, chiropractic has a really good track record. And again, I think people get the idea of, I think it's the cracking sound that makes people think, there's no way that could be safe. it's one of those things where the sound itself sounds more dangerous than it is, and it's simply gas coming out from the joints. And I think when it comes to safety, the most important thing is when, just like all your health professionals, as long as they go through a full history, a consultation, examination, they get the full picture of things. And as long as you go through all the things as well, and as long as that chiropractor has a clear understanding of what's going on with the body, they will adapt their care to what is safe and what is going to be the best for you. So that's how we approach things. And that's how, that's how we have a good time. Oh, wait, hold on, pain. I heard something about pain and tenderness.
Does it hurt? What's the other question?
Sorry, I missed that one. I mean, depending on the area, like sometimes it's not tender, sometimes it can be. Like if an area has been problematic for a while and things are really locked up and protect themselves, it can be tender. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie about that. But sometimes it's not. It's really different for everyone, but it's important for us to take that into consideration. And like typically the first few adjustments, we like to be a lot more lighter force and more specific, and to make sure that we're not putting too much input. We don't want to overwhelm the body, because, you know, for example, if the body's been a certain way for a while and a certain pattern, when we change it, things can be, not even just on the adjustment, things can be a little bit tender afterwards as well. So just important to understand that. But yeah, can be tender sometimes, but hey, you know, sometimes you got to get through these things to function a bit better too.
So what can someone expect in their initial appointment? What could they be walking in and expecting?
I think every chiropractor does things a little bit different. But in general, it's a matter of typically a form will get filled out prior, so you get an understanding of someone's history. So it's going through an understanding of what has brought you here, what are the things that may have, you know, contributed to the current presentation? Are there other things that maybe someone hasn't thought about that could be connected? It's just trying to connect the dots so we get a full understanding of what's going on, how it's related to the current situation, what your goals are. Like, why are you actually here? Like, is it purely because you want to function better? Is it because you're not happy about your posture? Is it because it's a symptomatic thing? That all depends, but it's important to, I guess, be aligned there and understand what's going on. I guess with us, I think it's probably better if I talk about how we do things, because all chiropractors do things a little bit differently, but you probably should expect relatively similar in a lot of places. But once we go through that history side of things and we've got a real clear picture, it sort of guides us nicely into an examination, to where we should focus on things. But examination is usually part of, and some functional tests, a part of like a posture analysis. That's something big we do, is we want to see where things are at, because posture is a really good representation of what's going on inside. So if we don't do posture analysis, we might do a few brain body tests, so a few balance tests to see how things are connected. We'll do range of motion, like I was saying before, is when an area is under stress, it locks down and protects. So areas of that have lost motion usually indicates to us that there's, you know, typically restriction or an issue going through there. Then we go through full like spinal analysis and palpation, finding the, I guess again, just further honing in on the specific areas that are the more problematic ones. And from that, gives us a pretty clear picture. After that first visit is usually when we go away and put things together and analyze things. We can sometimes make a chiropractic adjustment on the first visit. That's all depending on whether someone's seen a chiropractor before, severity of the situation, you know, because, you know, for example, sometimes there's a lot of things that we need to go away and have a look at, but sometimes things are really straightforward. So sometimes we might make an adjustment on the first visit. But most important thing on that first visit is to get the full picture, for us to go away, put it all together so that on that next visit we're really clear with what the plan of action is, what we're going to do, what you can do to help with your care, and what you need, really.
Awesome. Thanks. And that's really good to know, because I think for some young people it can be quite scary and daunting going into something new. So being like able to now know how that process works, is really useful. We had a couple of questions that are a bit more specific, and one came in, actually a few questions came in around the same thing, about headaches and migraines, and I think you've already mentioned it, but we'll just cover it again. Is it worth going to see a chiropractor about headaches or migraines?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just going to say yes straight away. but it's important to understand why I might say that, is that, you know, there's a lot of different things that contribute to headaches and migraines. But in the end, it comes down to the nervous system, like more than anything, is that, you know, there's different things that are a stress in the nervous system, which result in the body, I guess, being overwhelmed and you know, causing a neurological pain somewhere. Because you know, a lot of us, typically, when we get a headache, the problem isn't there, or a migraine, or it's not there, it's a referred pain. And we find very commonly that's to do with the neck specifically, but it can be anywhere. But the nerves from the neck, for example, do go into the head and refer into the head. So the neck is very commonly involved, the movement of the neck, how that might affect the nervous system. But again, there's a lot of different factors involved with headaches and migraines. We've got to really, like, it's important to address and to take note of any chemical stresses, the things you're eating, any medication you might be taking, any things that might be part of that. We know how stress and mental health and anxiety is part of that thing too, because again, it comes back to the nervous system, is that those chemicals, the mental stress, that's all stress on the nervous system, just like postural stresses, just like other things are, is there a stress in the nervous system, and then the body and the nervous system has to respond, which again can result in headaches and migraines. But that's something we see a lot, we see it all the time, when we can get the neck moving properly, where we can help take the sort of pressure and interference off the nervous system, or at least facilitate that, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we've had a specific question from someone who's been told to go see physio for their back pain. Would a chiropractor be better for a situation like that? So if you're getting back pain and you're being referred to maybe by your GP to physio, is maybe a chiropractor going to be doing something different there?
Yeah, well they're definitely going to be doing something different. And again, I think the focus is different again. Like, you know, our focus specifically is on the spine, the movement of it, and how that affects the nervous system. So the approach is going to be different. And all situations are different, to know who to see and who not to. I mean, but again, the back, the spine, that is the thing that we deal with every day. These are the things that we see every day. You're more commonly, you're definitely going to be referred to a physiotherapist from a GP 99 out of 100 times, because of the relationship that physios have with GPs, for sure.
Yeah.
But in general, yeah, again, back pain. It's something we see all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, you, I mean, you're definitely in the right place.
Awesome. I guess so. We've got a kind of finishing question that we kind of ask everyone when we're doing Yak Yarns, and we kind of ask you, what is the one thing you would like young people to take away from this conversation tonight?
Well, if you want to see a chiropractor, there are people out there making sure that it's accessible for young people, and like I sort of said before, that's something that we're very big on. We never want finance to be a barrier. We never want there to be a barrier. We want people to be able to get the healthcare that they need when they want it. So know that there is help out there, and know that there's people who've got your back. Because like I sort of said, I feel, like I said earlier, is that that demographic is definitely a very neglected demographic, especially when it comes to health, because of the situations that, you know, that we find ourselves in those age groups. And finance is a big part of that. So know there's help out there, and your posture now, massive effects on your health as you get old.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've really appreciated you having you along, and thank Alex as well from us. It was really nice to have her for the first part. But yeah, thank you heaps for joining. It was just, yeah, really good to have someone come on, because you hear about chiropractors all the time, but you never get to kind of just ask those questions. So thank you so much for answering them all.
Yak Yarns, for fun conversations with health professionals about youth health. Get the podcast at plainsfm.org.nz, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can get in touch with the CDHB Youth Advisory Council on the CDHB website, Facebook, Instagram, or you can email them at cdhbyouth@gmail.com.